Welcome to Sunday Reflections. I'm the Reverend Jacqueline Sheldon from St. Paul's Episcopal Church at 220 Valley Street in Willimantic. Here we are in the fifth Sunday of Easter, and Jesus is using another metaphor to help us understand how life is to be after his death and resurrection. In today's lesson, Jesus speaks of being the vine and all of us being the branches. This morning's message is taken from John's Gospel, the 15th chapter, verses 1 through 13. Jesus says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. You have already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends." I must make a confession. In the Episcopal Church, the reading for today ends at verse 8. "My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples." But I needed to add verses 9 through 13. "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends." I'll tell you why I added that. In John's Gospel, Jesus is at the Last Supper when he paints this picture for the disciples of their relationship with him and with God. He is about to go to his death, and he wants to give them strength to keep going and not turn away. He's about to lay down his life for the sake of love, paying the highest cost to bear the greatest fruit. He wants his disciples to be willing to risk everything to lay their lives down just as he does, with complete trust in God's love. We need to look at two different areas in this story to determine what Jesus wants from his disciples and how they will be helped to do it. In verse 2, Jesus says this: "He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit." Then, connected down in verse 6, we hear, "Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch that withers. Such branches are gathered and thrown into the fire and burned." It could be read that we are on our own, and if we don't do things just right, we will be removed and thrown into the fire and burned. When words are this confusing and intense in Scripture, I know it's time for me to admit humbly that I don't understand and I need God's help. If Jesus is trying to strengthen his disciples before he dies, I can't imagine him using such a fear tactic. At the same time, I know he wants them to hear how important it is for them to hold on to him and to never let go and to trust completely in God's love. So how can we understand this? I think verses 9 through 13 can give us a clue. Jesus says, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down their life for their friends. How could this text have Jesus talking so much about love and joy while threatening rejection and burning fire at the same time? I had to go investigate, and this is what I discovered. Listen to these words from James Boyce, a Reformed theologian, who comments on the textual data in this passage. He says, there are two things that the Father is said to do in his care for the vine. First, he is said to take away every branch that does not bear fruit. Generally, this has been understood to be a purging away of dead branches in precisely the same sense that branches are said to be cast away and burned in verse 6. I am convinced that most translations have missed the true meaning of the term takeaway in this instance. Undoubtedly, their translation has been made to conform to what they know or believe is coming in verse 6, but the translation is not the best or even the most general meaning of the Greek word aereo, which lies behind it. The word aereo has four basic meanings. Number one, to lift up or pick up. Number two, to lift up figuratively, as in lifting up one's eyes or voice. Number three, to lift up with the added thought of lifting up in order to carry away. And finally, number four, to remove. In translating this word by the verb take away, the majority of translators have obviously chosen the fourth of these meanings, to remove, for the reason suggested above related to verse 6. But the verse makes better sense, and the sequence of verbs is better, if the first and primary meaning of the word is taken. In that case, the sentence would read like this. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he lifts up. That is, to keep it from trailing on the ground. This translation makes better sense of the passage in every way, and in addition, it is much better theology. It would be a strange vine dresser who immediately cuts off such a branch without even giving it a chance to develop properly. But it would be wise and customary for him to stretch the vine on an arbor or use some other means of raising it up into the air and sun. To translate the word aereo by lifted up gives a proper sequence to the Father's care of the vineyard, indicated by the verbs which follow. Thus, he first of all lifts up the vines. Then he prunes away the unproductive elements. Wow. Wow. This puts a whole new light on the story. Imagine that there might be times when we, who are abiding in Jesus the best we can, are not producing fruit that glorifies God. Paul names the fruits of the Spirit. They are love, joy, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Now, if for some reason, in some situation, we just can't produce the fruits, should we be immediately removed and burned? Jesus says we cannot do anything without him. If we are doing our best to abide in Jesus, there are going to be times when we're not bearing fruit. Loving as Jesus calls us to love is very challenging, and sometimes we can't help but resist. And in those moments, in God's great love for us, we will have to be lifted up for healing. That is part of the journey. There will be times when things have to be pruned back and even removed by the love of God. I discovered that Jesus is talking about two different situations in this passage. He's talking first about the trust and commitment and care that is required for those of us who abide in him. He's talking about how we're lovingly cared for so we can grow stronger and stronger. And then secondly, he is talking about the destination of those who refuse to abide in his love. Honestly, I am joyfully relieved that our loving God lifts us up when we need healing, and I hope you are too. I also have a lot of questions about what happens to those who do not abide in his love, but that will have to be for another day. For now, I thank God that I could understand a different translation and share it with you. It's not always about getting it right when we study Scripture. I think it's about being humble and having an open heart so God, through his word, can keep pruning and caring for us. Pretty cool. So, for your spiritual practice this week, I want to invite you to take some time alone with God to have a conversation about your spiritual health. Are there places where you need God to lift you up for healing where you know you're not producing fruit? Or do you feel a drain of energy and need God to prune something in your life? Perhaps you'd like to celebrate with God a new surge of growth you feel from a recent season of healing and pruning. Take some time with your healing, loving God to be strengthened. Well, that's it for this week. Remember, you are welcome at St. Paul's. Check out our website or our Facebook page for our weekly activities, and if you'd like to hear this message again. Have a joyous week of growth as you are lovingly cared for by God. I'm sending you off with Love Lifted Me Up by Alan Jackson.
I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore. Very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry. From the waters lifted me, now safe am I. Love lifted me, love lifted me. Nothing else could help. Love lifted me. Love lifted me. Love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. All my heart to him I give, ever to him I'll cling. In his blessed presence live, ever his praises sing. Love so mighty and so true, merits my soul's best songs. Faithful love and service to him belongs. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Love lifted me. Love.